All right. Thank you, RB. Welcome at home. Blessings on you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. Merry Christmas to you all. Merry Christmas Eve. And at home, I know so many of you are out sick. Blessings on you. And our prayers are with you. Wish you were here with us. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. So, Lord, as we spend a few minutes in this passage this morning, unwrapping the meaning of Christmas, Holy Spirit, give us an ear to hear what you're saying to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Go ahead and be seated. You know, here in America, we celebrate Labor Day and Veterans Day, Independence Day, and Thanksgiving. And we do that because someone or someone's did something to make that day possible, to make us commemorate that day. John here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, he makes four statements about Jesus Christ that make Christmas possible. Because obviously we know that Jesus makes Christmas possible, but here's why. This is like the mechanics of the thing right here. There's no Christmas without the Christ of eternity. We're told there in verse 2 that Jesus is the eternal life that was with the Father. Jesus is the Christ of eternity. Before he was among us, he was above us. Before he was down here, he was up there. Before he was seen in time, he was up there in eternity. The birth of Jesus is like a gift that's placed on your lap. It's an eternal gift that's placed upon your lap. And when Jesus was born, he taught, he did miracles, he raised people from the dead, he healed people. But what did it all mean? I mean, here's a guy walking around Judea, Galilee, Jerusalem, the Decapolis, and he's doing miracles. It was great stuff, especially if you were healed. Especially if you're one of the three people raised from the dead, especially if you were blessed by what he taught. You'd go, oh, wow, that's so awesome. But what did it all mean? What was it tending towards? You know, tomorrow, Christmas Day, all of us, hopefully, are going to have a gift or more placed upon our laps. But we really don't know what it is until it's opened, until it's unwrapped. And it looks so pretty under the tree. We get good feelings from it. And it looks so cool. And there's all kinds of anticipation within us. What is it really? And so, you know, we can look at Jesus, and he did all these things, but okay, what is that all about? The gift has to be unwrapped, and it has to be opened before you can see really what it's all about. And so I have a gift up here on the pulpit table, and it's in a pretty red box, but you don't know what's inside of it, do you? And you can what's some speculation about what's in here? What? Huh? Fruitcake. No, there's not a fruitcake. Those of you who are newcomers, this is a fruitcake-free zone. Okay. Fruitcake is not of God, okay? And I get people mad at me for saying, this is just a joke, all right? So don't send me an email about that. but seriously, this is a fruitcake. Someone gave me a fruitcake a couple years ago that I used as a doorstop for a couple weeks before it just disintegrated. What did you say, Stephen? What's in here?
I said air.
Air. No, air. Air doesn't weigh this much. But, okay, I'm going to shake it.
Chocolate.
All right. Summer. I'm going to ask my granddaughter Summer to come up here and help us to open and unwrap and see what this is all about. Yeah. She's a great gift unwrapper, let me tell you. So this is Summer. Summer, can you say hi to everybody? Okay, why don't you open that up and show everybody what's inside of it. You got this is the tape on the sides. You want to do it? Just discuss among yourselves. All right, she's getting it. Go ahead and just crank it open. Show the people what it is. It is chocolate. Just not any chocolate, though. This is like the best chocolate on the planet, at least with my ghetto tongue here. It's Hershey's Kisses Special Dark. Now, the milk chocolate is good, right? And with the almonds, I really don't like that. Fran really likes that. I don't like that at all. But if you've had this stuff, this is like crack cocaine. We bought a bag, and then I went back, bought another bag, and Fran said, "You get some more?" I said, "Yeah." I just so do you know why I got this? This is my favorite. And you know why God sent Jesus? It's his favorite. The darling of heaven became a man. So you can take that back. Don't open it. But if you want to, you can give it out after church. All right. I love you. Thank you, honey. All right. So it was pretty. It was up here. It's under your tree. It makes you feel good. All that kind of stuff. And so we looked at Jesus, and he did all these things. But what does it mean? Is it he's just a miracle-working man who's here for one generation, and then he's gone? What's it all about? The thing is this, is that the death and the resurrection unwrapped the Christmas gift of Jesus. We really didn't know what Jesus was all about until he died and he rose again. It was the death and the resurrection that unwrapped Jesus Christ. We didn't see it until then. It showed us, his death and his resurrection showed us who he really was and what he was all about and what he came to do. He came to save you from your sins. And the thing is this, if Jesus didn't die for your sins, you got a whole lot of work ahead of you. You got to impress God with your intellect. Do you think you can impress God with your intellect? Well, I've got 180 IQ, Pastor. You think God's impressed? We're impressed. I'm impressed. But God's not impressed with that. Well, I can play the guitar really good. All right. Have you ever seen the Lord play the guitar? He's really good. Do you think you can impress him with what you can make with your hands? And some of you can make some of you are very, very handy. And you can make some really cool stuff. But God said, let there be what? Light. And there was light. And he fashioned the heavens, he fashioned the earth, and the vast universe. Do you think he's impressed with what you can do? Now, he can be blessed by what, like our kids. Are you really impressed with their hand impressions that come home from school? No. I'm blessed by it, but I'm not impressed by it. You know, and it's glad that I'm glad that they did it, and they did it for me, for us, kind of a thing. But when you look at it, it's just anybody could do that kind of a thing. It's not that impressive. Can I tell you something? You're not that impressive. When it comes to God and who he is, his nature, his holiness, his love, his grace, his power, his genius. I mean, the more that science discovers about the nature of reality, the more scientists scratch their heads. The amazing complexity of how this whole thing, you know, works together. You can't impress God with anything that you can do. So, if you don't think that Jesus died for your sins and you think that somehow you can impress God without who you are, you've got a whole lot of work cut out for you. You've got a rough road to hoe in front of you. Jesus is the Christ of eternity. There's no Christmas without the Christ of eternity. There's also no Christmas without the Christ of history. The Christ of history. Notice that verse 2, it says, the eternal life that was with the Father was manifested. It was manifested to us. the Christ of eternity, he became the Christ of history. That's what 1 John is telling us here. God, who was in the heavens, God who existed in the heavens, now he walks upon the earth. He entered the world of our senses. He could be heard. What does it say there in verse 1? What we've heard. We heard God. We've seen God with our eyes. We've looked at God. We've touched him with our hands. The Christ of eternity became the Christ of history. The God of the Spirit, Spirit is invisible, became God in flesh. And again, we could touch him, see him, hear him, and follow after him. Mary held him, Joseph touched him, the shepherds saw him, the wise men beheld him, and he was heard by thousands upon thousands of people. But people, a lot of people might say, well, you know, Pastor Tim, that was back then, that was 2,000 years ago. Today, Jesus can no longer be seen. He can no longer be heard. He can no longer be looked at. He can no longer be touched. And I have to agree. Jesus is not here in the flesh any longer. There are some materialists that tell us if it's not matter, then it doesn't matter. Materialism is a philosophical commitment that the only thing that exists can be weighed and touched and felt. And if it's not matter, it doesn't matter. And so is Jesus matter on the earth anymore? Well, no, I can't say with any kind of intellectual integrity. If you go to Calcutta at 5 p.m. at noon to this corner, you'll see Jesus in the flesh. It doesn't happen like that. Jesus is no longer here in the flesh. Jesus is no longer here as he was during the time of his ministry that's given to us in the gospel. Therefore, if it's not matter, it doesn't matter. To which I would say then, your thoughts don't matter. Because your thoughts aren't matter. You can say to a materialist, well, your words don't matter. Your word, because words aren't matter. Can you weigh them? Can you somehow measure them? How much does a thought weigh? How tall is a thought? I have some pretty tall thoughts. But how big is a thought? How long is a thought? You know, with our iPads, you can add 50. Do this. Weigh your iPad. Some of you have scales at home where you weigh out your food, you know, your portions. Weigh your iPad. And then add about 20 apps to it. And these 20 apps, it can open worlds for you. It's incredible what apps you can get on your iPad or on your phone. And then weigh your iPad or your phone again. Has there been any difference in the weight? Because information doesn't weigh anything. Now, someone did this. And they came up with like 0.00001 milligrams of weight that was added. So look, information does weigh something. And the scientist said, no, that's probably just the grease from your fingers that's weighing that particular device down. There is no substance to thought and to words whatsoever. Information has no mass, no weight, no volume or dimensions. And if it doesn't matter, if it's not matter, it doesn't matter, then your thoughts don't matter, your words don't matter, and by your own philosophy, I can ignore you. Because you don't matter at all in what you're saying. You know, if you share half a pie with someone, how much do you have left? Come on, it's not that hard. This isn't a trick question. Got half, right? All right. Now, I can preach all of this sermon to you, and how much will I have when I'm done? It's not a trick question. All of it. All of it. A pie is divisible. Information isn't divisible. It just multiplies and multiplies and multiplies. It has no weight, no volume, no mass. It just extends. Those who are committed materialists basically just bracket themselves out of any kind of serious thought whatsoever. Matter matters, and non-matter matters, and Jesus matters. His matter made Christmas possible. There's no Christmas without the Christ of history. The Christ of eternity became the Christ of history. the eternal life that was with the Father was manifested to us. We saw him, held him, beheld him, and touched him. So there's no Christmas without the Christ of eternity, without the Christ of history. There's no Christmas without the Christ of experience. Notice what John says there in verse 3. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I got this thing going with God in the Spirit. It's real. It's powerful. It's a relationship. It's a fellowship. It's not just made up in the imagination of my mind. There is a real person, God. There's a real person, Jesus Christ. There's a real person, the Holy Spirit. And I'm in fellowship with him. He's the Christ of experience. He's come to live inside of my life, inside of my heart. The Christ of eternity became the Christ of history, who became the Christ of experience. Was Jesus ever in Bethlehem? Yes. Was Jesus ever in Nazareth? Yes. Was Jesus in Jerusalem? Yes. But the question now is, those are all historical questions. The question now is an experiential one. Does Christ live in your heart? Has the Christ of eternity, who became the Christ of history, has he become the Christ of your experience? Have you received him as your Lord and your Savior? Have you repented of your sins and put your faith in him? Have you said, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and confessed that Jesus is your Lord? And when you do that, the God of eternity, the God of history, becomes now the God of your experience. And that's what triggers that fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The God of eternity, the Christ of eternity became the Christ of history, who became the Christ of experience. The God who was heard, who was seen, who was looked at and touched. Here's the glorious thing. He saw me. He heard me. He touched me. And I know the bulk of you have that same testimony. You have the same confession. That the God who was looked at and seen and beheld is the one who sees me. And he's drawn me to himself. And he's conquered me. I know there's nothing I can do to impress God. I'm not that foolish, not that arrogant, not that short-sighted. What the Father is impressed with is the work of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, who took upon himself the sins of the world, who took upon himself your sin and my sin, and rose again to defeat sin and death and hell and the grave and the devil. And all of our enemies have been defeated in Jesus Christ. And that's the God that we have fellowship with. And John's inviting us in. I want you to have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Note the progression here. The God up there became the God down here, who became the God inside here. There's a definite progression here in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. The God of eternity became the Christ of history, became the Christ of experience. And he lives inside of me. Fellowship is friendship. And John is inviting us into friendship with God. Who do you like to hang out with? Your friends. Who do you like to talk with and share with? Who do you like to pray with? Who do you like to maybe talk about intimate matters, secret matters with, sensitive matters with? It's with your friends. And Jesus is inviting us into that friendship, that fellowship with him. Well, there's no Christmas without the Christ of eternity. No Christmas without the Christ of history. No Christmas without the Christ of experience. And there's no Christmas without the Christ of testimony. Look at verse 4. He says, these things we write, so that our joy might be made full. The Christ of eternity became the Christ of history, who became the Christ of experience. But that's not it. We might think, well, that's the end of it. I have Jesus in my heart. That's not the end of it. Do you have Jesus in your mouth? Is he your testimony? Are you telling others about Jesus? Are you inviting them into this glorious relationship that we have with the Son of God? The Christ of eternity became the Christ of history, who became the Christ of experience, who now becomes, in John, the Christ of testimony. I have to tell you about what's happening with me and to me. And again, note the flow. From up there to down here to in here, to out there. That's the complete cycle, right? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Jesus lived, he died, he rose again. He breathed on the disciples, and it said, he said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." They received the Holy Spirit, but that wasn't the end. He didn't say, "Okay, you can go home now because I'm living inside of you." He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Disciple all nations, teaching them to obey whatsoever I've commanded you." This, the gospel, Jesus is supposed to be in our mouths. He's supposed to be our testimony. And John says, "I write this so that our joy might be made full." The God who was in heaven became the God who walked the earth, who became the God who fills my heart, who became the God who flows from my tongue. You see that progression there in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, you may say that Jesus fills your heart, but until Jesus fills your mouth, your joy is not made complete. And you know that. You know that. You know that when you've shared your hope that you have in Christ with someone, whether they receive it or not, whether they open up their hearts to Jesus or not, you walk away from that going, "All right." I mean, some of you that are going out with Robert and the team to in and out and the other places you go to just to tell people about Jesus, you know that even when they don't pray to receive Jesus, you have a joy in your heart. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing what I was programmed to do, what I was created to do, to give Jesus away. Moms and dads in your homes, when you tell your kids, your grandkids about Jesus, there's a joy that fills you because he's not just the Christ of experience. He's the Christ. He's the Jesus of your testimony. So the complete cycle is that the God who was in heaven became the God who was on earth, who became the God who lives in my heart, who becomes the God who flows from my tongue. Do you know that if Jesus had not been the testimony of the church, we'd not be having Christmas now. Now, maybe someone would make up some kind of holiday to spend money and get gifts. But we know that even though it's been commercialized and consumerized and it's been drained and diluted and contaminated and infected, all the words you want to use, that Jesus is at the root of the season, right? He's the reason for the season. Amen. And had Jesus not been in the testimony of the mouth of the early church, we wouldn't be having Christmas. We wouldn't, because this is necessary for Christmas to take place. And so God above us becomes God among us, becomes God within us, to God from us. So, here's the question for you. Is the Christ of eternity, the Christ of history, the Christ of experience, the Christ of your testimony? Is he the Christ of your testimony? So two things, church. I would encourage you to let the Lord use you to tell other people about Jesus. To ask them if you can pray for them. To have the power of Christ and the love of Christ and the power of Christ flow from your life. And maybe you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Hey, you love Christmas, you love the gifts. But listen, you've never gotten to the root of the reason for the season. That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Your joy can be made full. You know, I love Christmas. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year, all that kind of stuff. And most of us would probably say, yeah, we like Christmas time. We look forward to it. But my joy is not going to end on December 26th, right? Because Jesus isn't over. The season might be over at some point. But the reason for this season never goes away. And I'm not just living in the season. I'm living in the reason. And I'm living for the reason. And your joy can be made complete all year long. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior this morning, you've never had an opportunity to say, "Yes, I believe that the Christ of eternity became the Christ of history, who wants to become the Christ of my life." Excuse me. That he can flow from me. I want to give you an opportunity this morning, and at home too. I want to give you an opportunity to open your heart to Jesus Christ.